Welcome, everyone. This is Kevin Gianni from Renegade Health, and today we have a very special call. All our calls are special, but today's call is really unique because we are talking with Dr. Jeffrey McCombs, who is the author of Life Force, a Dynamic Plan for Health, Vitality, and Weight Loss. And he is, I would say, and I'm sure he may say the same thing, a candida expert. He's a third-generation graduate of Palmer College of Chiropractic, and he developed his candida plan, which is a detoxification and dietary plan that counters the detrimental effects of antibiotics and establishes the normal body flora, detoxification pathways, and regeneration cycles of a vital, youthful, and healthy body. And today he's going to be talking all about candida. I have a lot of questions. As you know, candida is very close, or was very close to my heart, maybe literally as well. And so we're excited to have him on board. So, Dr. McCombs, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's always great to talk about health and especially to reach audiences that are very much interested in it. So I'm glad to be here.
Fantastic. Well, let's start just very briefly about, you know, I like to give everyone an introduction as to who we're talking to. So if you can give us maybe a one and a half minute kind of introduction of how you got into candida, that would be pretty valuable for everyone to hear.
As you said, I'm a third-generation doctor of chiropractic, my father, a grandmother, a couple cousins. And it was actually through my father's, he had cancer a few years after I graduated from chiropractic college, and going through his process of dying and then learning a lot of techniques that took me beyond what generally chiropractic represents, which is we usually consider as more of a musculoskeletal type technique or approach to treating the body, but started studying everything because I had to know everything. I started studying techniques that took me into knowing about chemistry and radiation and every different type of toxin available, a lot of with the emotions, et cetera. And in developing a practice where I had all kinds of extreme cases come to me because of the techniques that I had at my disposal to treat them with. And had a patient come in who had arm and hand pain that she had had for over 6 months, had been to MDs and other chiropractors and acupuncturists. And using kinesiology techniques, we determined that she had a fungal infection, came up with a program to treat her, which is really the plan that's still in existence today, the McCombs plan. And from that, I just saw more and more benefits with her, used it on more patients, and really got to, through the plan, really learn a lot more about the body and how the body is working and what is affecting it and how candida is something that affects pretty much everybody in the modernized world today because of the use of antibiotics. And really, it started off as just working to recover or reset the body from what's really a post-antibiotic syndrome, how antibiotics destroy the health of the body and work as their definition defines them against life. And so from that, it was really creating a plan. And then from that was probably around 1992. And never having read anything about candida, knowing anything about it, I've learned about it over the past almost 20 years now. And I've spent the past 5 to 6 years just researching day in and day out about candida. There's over 26,000 studies since really the late 40s, 1949, since the introduction of antibiotics. So there's plenty to study. There's plenty that people don't know. There's a lot of misinformation, a lot of disinformation about candida. And so that's really where I spend most of my time. And I think I spend most of my time getting rid of the answering questions about the misinformation and disinformation and just trying to get the truth out there. Because there is science, there are studies, and it is a valid question when you address healthcare.
Great. Well, this brings up a lot of questions. Let's first just kind of start with candida, just as it is. You know, from my understanding, everyone has the candida, the actual yeast. But you know, when does it become problematic?
You know, it's a great question. Whenever you talk about candida, you really need to always reference back to the ecosystem of the intestinal tract, where candida albicans, not only in that tissue, but in other tissues of the body, is a normal resident. It's called a commensal, which means it's normally there all the time. It's going to be there. It serves a function. There's not a lot known about what those functions are, simply because whenever I lecture to people, I tell them we know about 1% of what goes on in the body. We have over 100 trillion bacterial cells in the intestinal tract. Depending on your resource, it's anywhere from 4 to 500 species all the way up to 40,000 different species, and we know very little about what goes on in there. So there's not a lot known about what Candida does. We do know, when we look at ecosystems within the world, the environment out there, that it does break down decaying matter. It does serve as a transporter of nutrients to tissues. So we can surmise that that's what it's doing in the intestinal tract too, simply because it's the same organism, just different species. When it becomes a problem is when you create an environmental shift in the intestinal tract and in the body's tissues, and the thing that will do that the quickest and fastest will be antibiotics. There are several triggers. One is going to be pH. So the normal pH of the intestinal tract is slightly acidic. Candida will stay in its yeast form in an acid pH, but the more that goes to alkaline, the more that will become a trigger for it to convert from its yeast form to its problematic pathogenic fungal form. Temperature is another one, but it's not as big of a stimulant because the temperature doesn't range too much. But normal body temperature is 98.6, and that is another trigger. The immune system, 70% of it is in the gut, is a strong regulator of all the bacterial flora of the gut, so we're back to the ecosystem. And being able to regulate that system helps to keep Candida in its yeast form. But when you take antibiotics, research shows that we destroy up to 30% of that 100 trillion organisms, which leaves a huge vacuum, and which also causes another major trigger for the conversion of yeast to fungus, which will be the bacterial cell wall components, peptidoglycans, break down to N-acetylglucosamine, and that also triggers Candida to convert from its yeast to its fungal form. And Candida is, when you study it, is an amazing organism. It has the ability to shift, to adapt instantly in the body. It has the ability to live in any environmental niche in the body. And you could go on for years studying it. And there's probably, you know, we still don't know everything about it. Mm-hmm. That's a long answer.
Well, it's important to know that it possibly has, you know, a positive effect on the body too, which you say is to bring nutrients, deliver nutrients.
Deliver nutrients and to get rid of dead cells. Dead cells that may be lining the intestinal tract, it can definitely serve that function.
Yeah, so a plan that would totally eliminate Candida may not be the most effective thing. Totally eliminate.
Right. That again, you always have to consider the ecosystem. If you balance the ecosystem, you really balance everything within it, because nothing will be able to live in that ecosystem once it's balanced. But when you introduce antibiotics and a lot of the chemicals and heavy metals that we absorb as humans, because we're really like a sponge to our environment, then it creates problems. But if you want to take the kind of the warrior approach, that's the medical model. That's to go in to wipe out everything. That just creates more problems.
Yeah. You mentioned some of the myths. One of the myths that I was reading about that you talk about is the acid-alkaline balance. And so can you explain, you know, how Candida can thrive in both?
It'll thrive in its various stages. So in the acid state, that is a strong inducer of keeping Candida in its yeast form. In an alkaline state, that is a strong inducer for it to convert to its fungal form. And it's the fungal form which is the problematic one, and it travels through the bloodstream, which is alkaline. It sets up in the tissues, which are predominantly alkaline. Some of its end effects in the tissues may be that it increases the acidity because of the action of its various enzymes that it secretes. It has what are called secreted aspartoproteases, which will destroy protein structures, will destroy tissues, cause blistering of tissues, hemorrhaging of tissues. It contains several other different enzymes, phospholipases. These will also destroy cell wall membranes. So the pH is really one of the regulators. We tend to think there's a pH argument out there that everything has to be alkaline. except you lose digestion if you put the digestive system in an alkaline state, because the stomach is supposed to be very acidic. The acid leaving the stomach triggers the release of bile from the gallbladder and also triggers the release of your digestive enzymes from the pancreas. So without those enzymes, without that acid, then you alter your whole bacterial flora. So it's not just candida. You alter the flora of the entire intestinal tract. Many of the bacteria that live in there secrete lactic acid or other types of acids, and these acids help to maintain that overall level of acidity, which is slightly acid. It's not overly acidic like the stomach, but that's what creates the functionality of the intestinal tract in such a way that we get to eliminate toxins, absorb nutrients, and boost and build our immune system.
It seems like, at least in the natural health world, that everyone feels like they have candida. So how can someone really drill down, a fungal candida infection, how can someone really drill down and identify, yes or no? Like, I have a problem with it or I don't. What are some of the symptoms? What are some of the tests that someone can take? How can they figure out for sure?
Well, the symptoms can basically include everything, because candida can affect every tissue, organ, system in the body. We tend to think of sugar cravings and maybe skin problems like acne or psoriasis, or if you get into some of the candida conditions, you said candida was close to your heart, that's another one, endocarditis, mitral valve prolapse, valve problems, bloating, indigestion, constipation. We have all these different symptoms that are pretty common, allergies, asthma, but they all tend to reflect the ecosystem, the state of the immune system, the presence of candida, and it's a very vast array of symptoms. So it's kind of hard to address it as one thing or the other. So when you're addressing candida, you're addressing the bacterial flora, you're addressing candida, you're addressing the immune system. It's not just one thing. I don't think you can really successfully approach candida if you're just doing one thing. It has to be several things. And as I mentioned, all the toxins that we absorb, you also have to be detoxifying the body, because there are over 100,000 chemicals in the environment. Studies that show kids are being born with over 300 chemicals in their blood. And someone who's been on the planet for many years and has a bigger body mass, you would expect most people to have tens of thousands of chemicals in their body, and some of those suppress the immune system, some cause cancer, some are hormonal dysregulators. So you have to approach everything at the same time. I don't really consider candida to be as hard to get rid of as I think a lot of people think it is. I think that there are other things that they're missing in their approach to candida that keeps them from getting better, and they're misidentifying their symptoms as being due to candida when they may be due to things that candida originally created, has been maintaining, or is contributing to.
Right. And then do you recommend someone getting a test, a stool test or something, to really see if they have a problem?
I usually tell people, take your list of symptoms, because that's going to be one factor. Look at your list of symptoms. You can do a stool test, PCR testing, which is sort of genetic. You're testing for genetic components of candida in the stool. Stool testing has some limitations, that you're generally only testing for the lower stool. You're not really testing for the small intestine or the rest of the body. You can combine that with maybe some urinary tests for metabolites of candida. Great Plains Labs has a good organic acid oat panel. You can also combine it with blood testing for immunoglobulins. I usually tell people take 2 to 3 tests, get a stool test, maybe an organic acid panel, maybe a blood test. Genova Labs has a series of good tests for a candida. You combine all those with your symptoms. And if you did a candida program or you took some type of anti-candida product, did you have a good result? That's another thing to consider, because you're creating an effect. So if you combine all that information, that's going to give you your closest shot. PCR testing is the most sensitive, but because it's so sensitive, it may create a false positive. Immunoglobulin blood testing is the least sensitive, and so it may create false negatives. When candida is in the body and escapes the intestinal tract, it spends very little time in the blood, so it's not likely that you might have a blood response that would show up on a test. You have to kind of look at the overall picture.
We're talking with Jeffrey McCombs right now. You can find out more information about him and his candida plan at www.mccombsplan.com. Let me spell that out for you. It is www.mccombsplan.com. So that's two C's, www.mccombsplan.com. So that's where you can find out more information. You can find out what is candida. You can find out the plan. There's some meal plans there. There's a sample one-week meal plan you can check out. It's a lot of great information. I really appreciate him sharing some of the information, not just hiding it all in a book, but the book is good too, and that's called Life Force. So anyway, I want to get back into what we're talking about here. There's two types of candida. Yes, there's probably more, but there's two very specific ones. There's a fungal infection that can be in the gut, and then there's a fungal infection that can escape that's called systemic. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between these two?
The one in the gut is basically affected, I think, first by the introduction of antibiotics in the body. It will convert from its yeast form to its fungal form. Test research shows that within an hour it will have converted from yeast to fungal, and within 24 to 48 hours it will have left the intestinal tract and passed through the wall and distributed through the tissues of the body. So it doesn't really take very long for that to go systemic. Research done in hospitals has shown that most people who have candida have no symptoms, or at least they have no symptoms that they're associating to be with candida, because most people who are in a hospital probably aren't being given any direction as to what is really taking place with their body. If they had more information, they may associate it more with candida. But once it goes systemic, it commonly affects the kidneys, the skin. It can affect the heart. It's been known to create masses within the body where you can actually have a fungal mass that will sometimes look like a tumor on an MRI. It can affect all tissues. It's when it's been injected directly into mice to see how it responds, it causes blistering, hemorrhaging of tissue. It's common to find it associated with joints, causing inflammation throughout all the body tissues. And that's why it can be, because of this, it degrades tissue. So if it needed, most organisms need iron to continue to live in the body. And if candida needs iron, it'll vampire it from blood cells, or it'll vampire it from tissue some way. It'll just break down the tissue or enter the cells through these enzymes. Research from San Diego shows that it can cause diabetes. These type of enzymes can cause diabetes, hypertension, and immunosuppression. Research out of Stanford shows that it could possibly be associated with obesity, cancer. So these are things that are there. The research is there that shows the effects it can have in the body, but there's a lot of misinformation about it, and a lot of disinformation from the medical profession, which doesn't really even acknowledge it unless it's due to an immunosuppressive disease like cancer or AIDS.
Okay. And would you say that the medical profession kind of downplays it, and the natural health profession maybe, or at least the people who are into it, overplay it, or is that not true?
The medical profession definitely downplays it because they don't have any understanding about it. Basically, they look for all their information from the pharmaceutical companies, and unless a pharmaceutical company has instructed them, say, and the instruction would be something like, you know, all those people you gave antibiotics, you actually also gave them a systemic fungal infection, which isn't going to happen. But any MD will, I've had, you know, patients over the years who will go to an MD, get antibiotics, especially women. They'll get antibiotic after antibiotic until, oops, I have a vaginal yeast infection, and then they take them off the antibiotic. But they know that one-to-one relationship, but it's not something they ever discuss or anything they want to discuss. In the healthcare field, are we over-responsive to it? I don't think we're over-responsive to it. I think we sometimes humanize many of the processes that we use to deal with it. And by that I mean there's a theory out there that if you use antifungals against candida, you need to rotate them. because they lose their effectiveness after 4 or 5 days. The science would show you that if that were true, that effectiveness would be permanently lost. It wouldn't be that you would come back and use it again in 2 weeks. It would adapt instantly, and you would permanently lose the ability of that to have an effect against it. But we tend to give it humanistic qualities that it's stronger in me, or we tend to elevate it to a status which doesn't really serve us. I think we just kind of get confused on ways to approach it, and then you start getting all types of theories why you're not getting rid of it. And to be truthful, I think it's just using the right approach and making that approach boost the immune system, detoxify the body, and address things in an orderly way so that you're not creating limitations within the approach that you're using.
And just for clarification, when you say antifungals, do you mean herbs, compounds, medications?
Yeah, antifungals, thanks for the question. Medications tend to be fungistatic or fungicidal, yep, meaning that they kill fungus. Herbs tend to be more fungistatic, meaning that they inhibit. And if we look at nature and the way nature responds to fungus, most all plants create antifungal substances. So we're never going to be a loss for antifungal substances, and we're always finding new ones based on our ability to find out what plants are producing. But plants don't kill fungus to wipe it out. They inhibit it so that the plant can continue to grow. And then fungus stays within the ecosystem, so one day when that plant dies, the fungus can play its role. Mm-hmm. And so most antifungals produced by herbs are designed to inhibit. They're not fungicidal. And if they were fungicidal, research shows us that Candida would adapt and would change its DNA so that would never have an effect on it again. And I don't think herbs work that way. They definitely haven't shown us to work that way in nature. They inhibit. And plants even create antibacterial substances, but those antibacterial substances don't create antibacterial resistant strains. See, they're still effective, but they're not creating problems within the ecosystem, which is what chemicals, antibiotics, medications do.